Hello, you're listening to Wrestle Fanzine. I am your host, Daniel Ball. Today's show, we're going to be talking everything from last night. Spoiler at the time of recording, we're on Monday. Last night's AEW Wrestle Dream pay-per-view and the huge, huge moment where Edge, or Adam Copeland, the rated R superstar, left WWE and debuted in AEW. But yeah, we're going to get into that pay-per-view in a couple of minutes. But just going to give you a quick outline of, well, me, the show. This is the first issue of the Wrestle Fanzine for the last, like, 5 years. I don't know, 5 years. I think my first podcast was Survivor Series 2018. And since then, do you know what I mean? It's like there's been, obviously, there's been things that get in the way. I've got a third kid on the way. There was COVID. There was just going out all the time, basically. So it's not really been consistent, the podcasting. Obviously, it was at its most consistent during the pandemic. But I am going to give you a weekly show, a weekly issue every week of the Wrestle Fanzine. We are basically going to be talking mainly, it's going to be mainly AEW and WWE. I might talk about Wrestle Kingdom when there's a big New Japan show. Wrestle Kingdom, obviously, January the 4th. Maybe if I go to a show, I'll give you a bit of talk on that. But mainly, we're going to be talking about, it's going to be a 30, 40 minute show each week where we talk about the latest goings on in WWE and AEW. Basically, let's be honest, you're basically reviewing a show each week at the moment. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If you want a podcast, yeah, where people tell you everything's great and, oh, what a great match it was. Like, I listened to, like, Dave Meltzer talking and Alvarez, yeah, and they're like, oh, this was a great match. And I'm thinking, it was about three-star match at best, and you're calling it a great match. And I'll be honest with you, I used to listen to them a lot. Yeah, they know the shit, right? But I'm just tired of them. I watch a match, and it's like, yeah, it's all right. And they're like, oh, what a great match. Go out your way to see it. And I'm thinking, just stop fucking lying. Not everything has to be great. Do you know what I mean? I know you're friends with half of the wrestlers, yeah? But you don't have to lick ass, yeah? But, yeah. So, basically, yeah, let's be honest. I'm going to shit on everything pretty much in this podcast. There'll be things that I like. Spoiler alert, last night's pay-per-view. Thought it was fucking amazing, yeah? You might not hear the opinions you're used to hearing, yeah? It might not be delivered in the polite way that you want it to be delivered. Someone commented last night, taking the piss, that this wasn't one of the greatest wrestling pay-per-views ever. And I politely told him, fuck off, yeah? In a polite sort of way. And he was like, oh, there's no need to be rude. It's like, mate, I'll tell you what. I think if you're thinking, yeah, that's a bit of a dick, yeah, maybe it is. But life is too short. But yeah, you might not hear, I'm only joking, by the way. You might not hear the opinions you're used to. I'm going to tell you exactly what I think. If there's a show, yeah, where there's loads, like, I'll give you an opinion that I possibly, you might not agree with. I thought I was at AEW All In 2023 at Wembley Stadium, yeah? Everyone, universally, great show. Was it fuck? I was there, yeah? I've been to fucking 4 WrestleManias and 3 of them were better than that. Yeah, this is supposed to be AEW's biggest show ever, and it was fine. There were some good matches, but main event was shit. And yeah, there you go. So they're the sort of opinions you could be hearing. But yeah, a quick backstory. I've been watching wrestling every week for over 20 years. Yeah, I'm getting old, 30, well, 33 next year, about to have my third kid. Maybe that's why I'm so grumpy. Maybe it's because I've been supporting Preston North End for the last 32 years, and we on the main are a sack of shit. But hey, we're third in the league at the moment. Got dicked 4-0 on Saturday. Probably going to get beat to Leicester and Ipswich this week. But I digress. Yeah, so I've been watching wrestling every week for 20 years. And people might say, oh, you're biased. I hear this all the time. Yeah, obviously, I'm quite, I don't know what's the word. Quite loud on Twitter. Yeah. And I will say what I think. And people are like, oh, you're biased against AEW or WWE or vice versa. And it's like, no. No, 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 no. I am sick of these AEW and WWE weirdos, yeah? Who are just like, ugh, they're just, last night we were watching a great pay-per-view and WWE fans are like trying to say shit. And it's just like, shut up. And then you'll get a shit AEW show. And you've got AEW fans going, oh, you're just a WWE bias towards WWE. It's like, no, I've watched a show, yeah? Like I do every week when I watch wrestling. And if I didn't enjoy it, yeah, I'm going to come on here, I'm going to tell people why I didn't enjoy it and give my opinion, yeah? I'm not going to sugarcoat it. If a show was fine, I'm not going to come here and be like, yeah, that was great. I'm going to tell you why it was only fine, what was up with it. I'm going to tell you that MJF's title reign has been absolute garbage. Yeah? It has. It's been garbage. Nobody's paying tickets to go and watch MJF feud with Adam Cole. People might not like it, it's over in the buildings, but that is a fact. That is a fact. Yeah? MJF, there's a reason why MJF is opening pay-per-views and little gimmick matches, okay? Yeah? The rain has not been great. But anyway, I didn't actually want to start by complaining. But yeah, quite sad to say, that's the backstory. I mean, I like a whinge, so if you don't like hearing a whinge, maybe tune out. If something's great, I will tell you it's great, as we're about to. This first issue is basically going to be talking about what a great pay-per-view we got last night. But yeah, I've been to 4 WrestleManias. I've stayed up until 5, 6 a.m. most weeks watching Monday Night Raw or whatever other wrestling I can watch for the last 20 years. So yeah, I am a diehard wrestling fan, and most of the time I hate it, but on the odd occasion, I fucking love it and I live and breathe it. But yeah, I'm not biased against WWE. Been to 4 WrestleManias, spent tens of thousands of pounds going to America, because unless you can't tell by my accent, I'm English. And yeah, put it this way, and I'm definitely not biased against AEW, because last night I stayed up until 6:30 in the morning, yeah, watching a press conference and a great pay-per-view, to then go and work at about 10 o'clock this morning. So yeah, definitely not biased for or against either show. But yeah, that's quick backstory. So each week you are going to be getting hopefully 30, 40 minutes of gripping audio telling you my opinion. No pussyfooting around, no sugarcoating stuff. If it's shit, I'll tell you it's shit. All right? But yeah, let's get into the show. And the big news, as I alluded to at the start of the show, is that Edge has signed for AEW and left WWE. He, in the press conference that I was sat watching at 6 o'clock in the morning, he was talking about how he feels free, the matches he can have, and stuff like that. Bit of a letdown that his first match is with Luchasaurus, but I can understand why, to be honest with you. Obviously, it's part of the story. And yeah, hopefully they don't let Edge signing be like CM Punk signing, where there's loads of matches left on the table. Don't let it be like Cody Rhodes, where there's loads of matches left on the table. It's like a lot of people have been quite cold on Edge, I think. Obviously, there was sometimes I just feel like people don't appreciate what they've got when it's in front of them. I know that could be hypocritical, because I do criticise some of the great stuff we're getting at the moment. But it's like, I don't know, so say like 6 years ago, if you would have said that Edge would be wrestling for this new secondary company, because that's what they are, yeah, that is delivering classic pay-per-views, we'd have all been buzzing. And then you just get people like not really enjoying the moment. But as I say, Edge, he didn't have, now it, obviously with wrestling, yeah, the height of something is the return in it, or the debut. The height of Edge in WWE in this second run after what was it, I think he retired, was it 2011, he came back in 2020. Probably didn't choose the best time to come back, because that was a bad year for everyone, but he came back at that Royal Rumble. So he'd had like, I think it was 2011, weren't it? Yeah, after Mania 28, the match with Del Rio. But yeah, so he was out of wrestling for 9 years, and he came back at the Royal Rumble, and it was a great moment, wasn't it? It was a great moment. They had the feud with Orton, where basically, do you remember, I think he did Orton RKO Beth, and that was like a great feud. It was really good, but they had that stinker of a match at the COVID WrestleMania. And then from then on, it was just like the year after he wins the Royal Rumble, everyone was complaining that he wasn't drawing. It just didn't feel right, did it? Babyface Edge going after Roman Reigns for the title, so they added in Daniel Bryan. And yeah, it just never felt, I don't know, with Edge. Like, there was good moments along the way. Obviously, he formed the Judgment Day, which is now one of the hottest acts in WWE. But like, I don't know, there was no like, I don't know, did he face Balor at this year's WrestleMania in a, I don't know, it was a fine match, weren't it? It wasn't great or anything like that. Just it felt like there wasn't that much for Edge in WWE. I'll be honest with you, I've always clearly come into AEW as a babyface. I'm going to go on record saying I don't think Edge is the best babyface. In fact, he's got a history of it not working out as a babyface. If you remember, he was a babyface SummerSlam 2004. Got booed out of his hometown. They had to turn him heel. They turned him heel. He had a great run. He went babyface around the time of his retirement. That didn't go to plan. He's always been best placed as a heel. His Rated R run on SmackDown, obviously the celebration with Lita on Raw, they were basically Edge's best runs. He's better as a heel than a babyface. Yeah, but obviously you can't bring him into AEW because he's going to get cheered no matter what. And obviously you don't want that to rub off on Christian. So it looks like, well, it's going to be in it. Edge's first feud in AEW is going to be with Christian. I'd probably do that for a month or two, and then I'd potentially look at turning Edge heel. You can have a tag match, Edge and Christian versus FTR, who are baby faces. You've got Edge taking on Kenny Omega. Obviously, Omega at the moment is a baby face. Edge possibly chasing after MJF. MJF at the moment is a baby face. A fucking annoying baby face, but nonetheless a baby face. But yeah, there's a lot for Edge to do. There's loads of people for him to work with. He said in his press conference interview last night, he's got a list of 14 people that he wants to work with. And that's just quickly from looking down the list. But yeah, obviously he's had a history working with Jericho, working with Daniel Bryan. He mentioned that he'd never stepped foot in a ring with Samoa Joe and people like that. Cesaro never stepped foot in a ring with. So yeah, he's got a lot of stuff to do. You can see why he's made the move. They did say that he's going to be there week to week, which is going to be... That's going to be interesting, isn't it? It's going to be, hopefully, like I said, they don't leave stuff on the table. At the end of this run, I mean, at the time of recording, I don't think we've actually had information on how long the deal is. But, yeah, he's left WWE, he's with AEW, and he's going to be wrestling week to week. So let's hope that he can have some good... I tell you what, another thing I didn't even think of that just come out. Hangman Page versus Edge. So, yeah, there's so many feuds Edge can have as a heel, and I do think... I'd say, I'm going to go on record by saying in 6 months' time, I think Edge will have turned heel, but he can have this little feud with Christian first. But yeah, that was a huge moment to end the show last night. And what was a pretty fucking incredible show. So without that, I said I spoke about that. I'll give you a little bit of backstory about the podcast. Let's get into last night's pay-per-view, AEW WrestleDream 2023. The first pay-per-view under WrestleDream. That is, obviously, AEW have been doing what they've just been doing, Double or Nothing, Full Gear, Revolution, and All Out as their big four pay-per-views. Obviously, Forbidden Door got added. It does look like this. Tony Khan has said this is going to become a yearly tradition. Now, the card, the building was actually, they only sold, I think, 7,000 tickets for this show, which... I don't know, I mean, for a pay-per-view, I mean, I was listening to something the other day where they sold 9,000 tickets in Seattle, 9,000 tickets for a Dynamite, the start of the year, the January 4th edition of Dynamite, which had Ricky Starks versus Jericho, Bryan Danielson faced Tony Nese, I think, on that show. So yes, 9,000 for a Dynamite, and here we are 9 months later, and they are not even selling 7,000 for a pay-per-view, and a pay-per-view that was pretty stacked. And I'm sure anyone who likes wrestling who didn't go is going to regret it, because what we got last night was, for me, I'm going to be honest with you, I think it was one of the best wrestling pay-per-views in history. I actually think this is AEW's best pay-per-view to date. I know a lot of people are going to be like, well, All Out 2021, that's the one that people go to, isn't it? All Out 2021 is the basically the thing that people go to. Because at that point, there was a lot of excitement, weren't there? Punk was in his first match. Bryan debuted at the end of the show. Adam Cole debuted at the end of the show. That was probably where AEW peaked. But as an overall actual show, I mean, the good matches on that show were Kenny Omega versus Christian. We got Penta and Phoenix versus the Young Bucks in that crazy cage match. Punk, Darby Allin. That's really all that really stands out match-wise. I'm sure there was others, MJF Jericho, which wasn't that good, to be honest. So those are like your three big matches that we got on the show. So you got those three matches, yeah, right? And you got the big angle at the end with Bryan and Cole, which is still probably the best thing AEW have done. And you got the whole CM Punk first match. That was probably the most memorable pay-per-view. Probably my favourite pay-per-view. The pay-per-view was like, right, let's go. Let's go with AEW. And since then, it's not really... For me, it's been on a downhill spiral since. People might disagree with that, but I think it actually has. We got a good 6 months or so, but as soon as Punk got injured and all the stuff, around the time of the first Forbidden Door and Punk having his injury, it all sort of went a little bit downhill. I don't think AEW's had... This is probably... 2023 has been AEW's worst year. As I alluded to at the start of the show, I was at All In, and it wasn't that good. It honestly wasn't that good. There was stuff on the show that I liked. Obviously, you're going to get that for a show brand as your biggest show ever. But since that, there has been an uphill improvement with AEW. I wouldn't say the weekly TV's been anything amazing. It's just been decent. It's been good. We've been getting a couple of good segments a show. But I thought All Out was fucking brilliant. Do you know what I mean? The card on paper wasn't anything to get excited about, but it really delivered. However, this pay-per-view, I think the card was something to get excited about, which I did. And I didn't stay up for All Out, but I stayed up last night till 6 in the morning for WrestleDream. And it really, really delivered. Fantastic, fantastic pay-per-view. I mean, the top matches on the show. So I've gone those three matches. We're all saying, aren't we, that All Out 2021 was AEW's best pay-per-view. So we got CM Punk, Darby Allin, yeah. Omega Christian and the cage match, okay? On this show, yeah, I'm going to go at you on this show. We'll talk about the MJF opener, which I didn't really like, in a little while. But we've got Hangman versus Swerve Strickland. For me, that was better than anything on the All Out show. Absolutely incredible match, incredible atmosphere. It was just, for me, it was one of my matches of the year. Absolutely fantastic match. We got the main event, Darby Allin Christian, which was brilliant. Do you know what I mean? It was crazy. We got the big angle at the end. So yeah, that was great. We got Bryan Danielson against Zack Sabre Jr., which was, it might not be to everyone's taste. It was just basically 20 minutes of incredible technical wrestling with a finish at the end. It was a great match. So we got, for me, those two matches were pretty much better than most things on that All Out pay-per-view. And if you surround that by Chris Statlander, Julia Hart, that was really good. We got the six-man tag team match, which we're going to get into in a little while. That was very good. FTR Aussie Open, that was very good. I've got loads of matches around the 3.75 star mark. Oh, top to bottom, wrestling-wise, this is without doubt AEW's best pay-per-view. For me, as I say, All In is like the people's favourite. I think Forbidden Door from this year, that was possibly rivaling this. I think Revolution from 2022 possibly rivaling this. That was a great show with Punk MJF, Cole, Hangman Page, main event. There was great matches on that show. But for me, I wouldn't say... Now, at the start of the year, we had... What was the show at the start of the year? Revolution, where we had the classic Danielson-MJF match and we had Moxley against Hangman Page. Yeah? I don't think anything touched Danielson-MJF on this show, but that was sort of a two-match card. This was, just from top to bottom, very good to great matches pretty much the whole way through. So for me, we got great matches, great moments, and probably one of the top three moments in AEW history to end the show. So I'm going to go on record and say this is the best top-to-bottom pay-per-view that AEW have done, and it really needed it. They really needed it because ticket sales are on the decline. The attendances, like I said, which is ticket sales, the attendances are dropping. Like for this show, it's dropping. But hopefully this pay-per-view can somewhat reignite AEW. I think they have been better the last 6 weeks. Hopefully they can kickstart now as we start the road to full gear, which I'm quite excited for after everything on this show. So the pre-show, there was nothing really on the pre-show that you really need to listen about. There was 3 to 4 matches. It was fine. Acclaimed, reclaimed this. Retain the six-man titles. We got Castagnoli winning his match against the guy from Bloodsport. Is Josh Barnett. I can't believe his name slipped my mind. What else did we get? We got Luchasaurus beating Nick Wayne. So yeah, it was fine. Now the problem, I'm going to go into this. We'll get into this as we get later in the show. But the problem was, you don't need 4 matches in the pre-show. Because that's why you're getting dead crowds for the Aussie Open versus FTR match later in the show. You're getting a dead crowd for Wheeler Yuta, Ricky Starks. I've been to a lot of big-time wrestling shows. I've been to these WrestleManias that just seem to go on forever. Do you know what I mean? You don't want to be your opening match on the pay-per-view. Being the 5th match the fans are seeing live, there's no need for these 14, 15 match cards. There just isn't. I mean, it's great. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy it. But you do sacrifice something in the end. Another point that I want to make is the video packages in AEW. Now, it's something I've always complained at. I watched the Countdown show, okay? And the Countdown show was absolutely phenomenal, all right? It was brilliant. It was basically convinced me to stay up last night. Brilliant stuff. They need to find a way to get this onto TV. Like, it's no good, like, me having to go and hunt it down on YouTube. If you can get an audience watching this, they're going to want to buy this pay-per-view. Do you know what I mean? So, like, even when the pay-per-view starts, what you're finding is they did do video packages before each match, yeah? But the problem is they were 30, 40, 50 seconds, yeah? So there's not enough time. You're ending one great match. You're getting a video package 3 minutes later, the next match is starting. Now, I know, like, Tony Khan's like, oh, I just want it to be a great wrestling show. That's all well and good, yeah? This was a great wrestling show, but you need time to go and get a piss. To have a piss. You need time to go and get a drink if you're in the arena or even at home. Do you know what I mean? You need time. People these days, you just got to accept it. These days, people want to check their phones and see what people are saying about the match. They want to tweet out, yeah? You're not giving them the chance to do it. And instead of, I don't know, tweeting out while you're playing a 4 minute video package like WWE does. If you want to watch the package, I've been live in the arena for these video packages, and the pop after a great video package in a live building is great to hear. It's just that one of excitement, yeah? And it gets the crowd up for the next match. If you're going to show it before a big match, you must show a long video package, yeah? Because it's reminding the crowd who may have forgot after the great wrestling they've just watched, yeah? What's coming next, and what they're going to be reminded why Aussie Open versus FTR is a huge match. Going back to All In, we didn't get a long video package, if any, all for MJF Adam Cole. It was a long story going into that match. It was a long night. If you would have played a 4 minute video package a la Rock Austin at WrestleMania 17, one of the greatest, most memorable video packages of all time that is still played 22 years later religiously by people, yeah? It would have got them hyped up for that match even more. It would have got people hyped up. Darby Allin Christian, we got a 45-second video package. Show 3-4 minutes of the month's feud going in, and the crowd will be up from the start instead. The crowd are on their ass. They're tweeting. They're going to the bar to get a drink. They're talking to their friends. And they're sat on the hands for the opening 10 minutes of some of these matches. Just, it's not hard. Just some. I know Tony Khan's like, oh, we want to be different, right? But some things work in WWE, and this is one of them. They are the best in the business for video packages, yeah? Video packages need to take place before you probably at least your 4 big, maybe 5 big matches on these shows, all right? But yeah, so that was the pre-show. That was a little rant about video packages. Don't know where that came from. Now the show, the pay-per-view, let's get this out of the way, of MJF versus The Righteous. One day I'm going to do a podcast on this MJF title run. Yeah, there's a reason why MJF has only main evented, yeah, one pay-per-view MJF has main evented since he has been champion, yeah, and there is a reason for that, yeah, previous reigns, Hangman Page was main eventing pay-per-views when he was the champion, yeah, I'm going to say Punk was, but he never got really the chance to defend it. Before that, Kenny Omega, majority-wise, was main event in pay-per-views. Let's go through MJF. Main evented against Danielson, and it was a classic match, yeah? Double or nothing. MJF didn't main event. He was in an average four-way match in the semi-main event. Forbidden Door. Does anyone even remember who he faced at Forbidden Door? I do. It was Tanahashi, but it was a throwaway opening match for the AEW world title, yeah? He main evented All in a comedy match that I was there in the building. The crowd should be going crazy for, but they weren't. Do you know what I mean? So what, he's main evented 2 shows, All Out, he was in the opener. So that is 6 pay-per-views, yeah? He's been in the opening match of 3 of them and the semi-main event of 1 of them. That just sums it up. That sums it up. Your top star, yeah, WWE, John Cena, is he going to be in the opening match of pay-per-views when he's the champion? No. Was Kenny Omega in the opening match of pay-per-views when he was champion? No. Was Hangman Page? No. There's a reason why this is happening. And MJF, he said in his press conference last night, oh, everyone can have all flavours of ice cream. If he wants to go to WWE, just fuck off to WWE. Take this shit with you. It's WWE. You can do this in the undercard if you want, but if you want to be a main event player in, do you know what I mean? The other option, this is the people who we don't really want sports entertainment main event in our shows. We want killer wrestling matches. I want Bryan Danielson. I want Kenny Omega. I want Hangman Page. I want Samoa Joe in the main event matches, giving us 4-star matches plus. Not this comedy bullshit, yeah? If he wants to go and play WWF wrestler from the early 1990s, go to WWE and do it. Or do it in the undercard. Don't do it as the world champion, yeah? And it's all well and good saying everything that he's saying, but no, not for me. Tony Khan needs to put his foot down. Let's get the belt off MJF. I know it's over in the buildings, but it's not over in ticket sales. It's not. It's not over in TV ratings. It's not over in pay-per-view buy rates. It's not, yeah? MJF is not drawing anything with this feud with Adam Cole He's just not. There's a reason why the weekly TVs are only selling 2,000 to 3,000 tickets. When your main events were Hangman Page, Danielson against Omega, Hangman Page versus Kenny Omega, I don't recall half empty buildings then. No. So we need to get back. We need to get this world title off MJF, or forget this and put him in a serious program. Hopefully, that's what will happen with the Jay White feud. He will go into a serious program where we can get a killer main event. But, well, hold my breath. The best thing, I know this, you shouldn't wish injury on everyone, but the best thing for people who like great wrestling matches is probably Adam Cole getting injured so we can get rid of all this bullshit. Anyway, the opener was bullshit. MJF beat the Righteous. They pushed the Righteous to just feed him to MJF in this joke match. Do you know what I mean? Fuck it. Dud. It was shit. I don't want to see it on my AEW pay-per-views. And if I do, just shove it on the pre-show. MJF retains the Ring of Honor World Championships. Do you know what? Nah, I'm giving it a dud. Fuck it. I'm not going to give it 2-star to be polite because people might complain. Fucking dud. Dud. Eddie Kingston versus Shibata for, I've got in my notes, some ROH belts. It was for the ROH World title and the new, was it the New Japan Strong title? Yeah, probably. It was a good match, wasn't it? It was your G1 type match, maybe like one of the early matches on a G1 night. It was hard hitting. Shibata looked great. Maybe Shibata's one of the best workers in the company, yeah? If he's good enough to go at it, let's just fucking let him go at it. Let's push him. Let's just get him on TV instead of just these matches. And yeah, it was just, I don't know, 12 minutes of back and forth action, hard strikes. There was no false finishes. Kingston just won with his finisher and retains the ROH world title. Went 3.5 stars on this. Really good match. Next, we get Chris Statlander versus Julia Hart for the TBS title. Now, Chris Statlander is really, she's really impressed recently. She's had a lot of good matches. I think it probably, was it the right decision keeping the belt on her ear? Julia Hart was so over. She's improved a lot. Let's be honest, call a spade, she's still sloppy and she's still a little bit green, but she's now at the stage, she can hold her own, but Statlander did a great job here in carrying her what turned out to be a very good match, and we got the moonsault, which I actually thought, is Julia Hart going to win off this, but that was a great false finish. The crowd, let's be honest, wanted Julia Hart to win. Maybe you could have gone with Julia Hart for the win and put Chris Statlander in the main title hunt, but no, they chose to keep the belt on Chris Statlander. Not as well wrestled as the Kingston Shibata match before, but I'd say this match was more exciting. I really enjoyed this match. Great showing from Julia Hart. Statlander was outstanding. For me, this was one of the best women's matches on pay-per-view this year. Not that that says a lot, because most of them have been shit, but this was really good. 3.75 stars for this match as Chris Statlander retains the TBS title. And I think one day Julia Hart will take this title. Hopefully they don't just forget about her like they do at the end of some pay-per-view cycles. They'll just forget about someone who's got over and done well. Hopefully they keep the push going with Julia Hart. But I don't know where you go from here. Do you know what I mean? Maybe you can get a rematch out of it somehow where Julia Hart takes the title. Maybe not. I do want to see with the women's division, there's no other women's matches on the show. So I might as well touch on this. Let's get Willow Nightingale. Let's push her. Let's push Athena. Them two delivered a great match in the Ring of Honor pay-per-view the other month. Let's just go with these people. Let's have Chris Statlander versus Athena for the TBS title. Yeah? Maybe push Julia Hart for the ROH Women's Championship so then she can get a reps in. But yeah, quite excited by the direction this is going. And Chris Statlander, as I said, was excellent in this match. Next we got the Young Bucks versus Hook and Orange Cassidy versus Penner and Phoenix versus the Ass Boys. Number one contenders match where the winners will face the winners of FTR and Aussie Open, as we know was FTR, probably at Full Gear. Phoenix basically took him out of the match, which was apparently a work. It was just like a nice little spot fest for 10 minutes. The Bucks win the match. The ending was a botch as Nick slipped off the ropes during the finish. It was a fine. It was a good match, but I will never, ever go back and watch this match. It's forgettable, but it was just a nice little spot fest. I went 3.25 stars on this, and the Young Bucks get the win, and they will face FTR. Obviously, the first match that the Bucks and FTR had was at Full Gear 2020. 3 years later, they're probably going to have the match there. I think the Bucks will probably win, won't they? You had the Bucks winning the first match, FTR winning the second match. They got the big win at Wembley in a match that disappointed, but was still good. And yeah, hopefully, I'd possibly go maybe 2 out of 3 falls for the next match. I know, like, that was the main event, but I'd go 2 out of 3 falls for this match that could potentially main event Full Gear, but we'll see. Next, match of the night. Match of the night, which some people disagree with. Some people will have preferred Danielson Sabre. For me, that was more of just a classic exhibition match. Hangman Swerve, the build has probably been the best build going into any of the matches on the card. As I say, the video package before each match should be longer, as they had some great material with this. The video package that they had on the Countdown show for this were just great. This match felt big. It was like, yeah, let's have two. Swerve felt like a main eventer in this match. Hangman Page, say what you want about him, he is probably your best wrestler in the company. I basically have the title on him for a year or two and just have him have great matches at the top of the card. But yeah, absolutely fantastic match. The chemistry, I don't know if they'd faced each other on the indies, they probably have, but they just proper meshed well. They really did work well. The crowd booed Hangman Page out of the building. Obviously, Swerve being from from Tahoma or something? But yeah, Swerve being from the Washington area was cheered like crazy. He worked in Defy, the local independent, but the match was just amazing. I mean, one of the spots, this isn't going to make, if you want a podcast where it's like, and then he hits this move, and then he hits that move, and then he does this. This ain't going to be that. We give opinions. We don't give live commentary on matches. I hate it when podcasts do that, but that's my own personal preference. But where, I've said that and now I'm going to say a move, the transition where Swerve just clicks the neck, it was just fantastic. Story of the match was Swerve destroys Hangman's arm, and then they worked in on Swerve that he had a weak hand after Hangman stabbed the hand with the pen on Dynamite. Absolutely brilliant storytelling. And yeah, I love the match, the atmosphere is great. This is a match you could go back and rewatch plenty of times. Match of the night. Nana cost Hangman the victory, because Hangman, and this is what I didn't like though, this was what stopped me from going 4 3/4 for the match. Hangman like hits his buckshot, yeah, which I don't think anyone's ever kicked out of, but there was such a long delay after the buckshot, like a 10-15 second delay, and then he goes for the pin. I think Swerve should have been putting his own foot on the ropes, but instead Prince Nana puts his foot on the ropes himself. He gets ejected by the ref, turns round, Swerve hits a couple of moves on him and gets the victory. Crowd go crazy. I would have preferred a more decisive victory for Swerve, because I'm assuming this, hopefully this feud goes on, which it will, and they'll probably have a match at Full Gear. But yeah, you had to give Swerve the win. He gets a big win in his hometown and his first big win in AEW. Swerve, for me, let's go. Let's fucking go. This guy, main event talent, he should be in the main event. I mean, in his promos, he's saying he's going to be the first black AEW world champion. And for me, he definitely should be. Fuck it. Have him take the title off MJF. but yeah, great moment at the end. The crowd are all doing the Nana dance. And yeah, I have had Swerve Strickland's music stuck in my head all day. Incredible stuff from Hangman and Swerve. 4.5 stars and your match of the night. Get Swerve in the main event. And we will see this match hopefully again at Full Gear. Next, Wheeler Yuta versus Ricky Starks. Crowd were dead. This was your match. It's just one too many, weren't it? This was the match where when it came out, I was like, oh, I forgot about this match. This would have been a good match if it had main evented a collision. I know you wanted Ricky Starks to get a win on pay-per-view, but no one's going to remember it. And yeah, you'd been better served doing this main event of a Dynamite, main event of a collision. It was well wrestled, as I said. The crowd were dead. And yeah, Ricky Starks gets the win. It just wasn't needed. This is where you have another match out, tiring the crowd out, where you get, I feel sorry for the wrestlers, you're getting a dead crowd. Could have shoved a video package, a backstage interview. I know he likes bang, 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 wrestle on his pay-per-views, but do you know what I mean? There's a bit of give and take. You will get better crowd interaction in some of the matches. 2 3/4 for this match, the lowest rated match of the night. Next, we get the dream match. Bryan Danielson versus Zack Sabre Jr. They've been trying to do this match for over a year now. The original plan was to do it at Forbidden Door 18 months ago, but Bryan got injured. Now, there's no need to go into huge detail on this match. As I said at the start, this was 20 minutes of amazing technical wrestling. Yeah, just fantastic. The work these two do, they're the best two technical wrestlers on the planet. The commentary of Mox and Nigel McGuinness was just so entertaining. Threw JR in there, which was funny watching Moxley interact with him. But yeah, just incredible technical rest. I do think there's a ceiling to this sort of match. There were no stakes on it. There was no build. It felt like an exhibition match, but it was a great technical wrestling match. Sabre kicked out of the knee. Bryan hits the knee again at the finish. In New Japan, you'll find this a lot, where a wrestler will hit his finish, and instead of him going back and forth hitting finishes like you see in America, the guy will just get up, hit his finish again, 1, 2, 3, and that's what happened here. 4.25 on this match. The crowd were really into it. I'd say it's a, as I say, I think there's a ceiling on what star rating you can give it. For technical wrestling match, it's a 5-star match. Yeah, there was nothing wrong with it at all. It was just fantastic. But overall, 4.25 stars match. They're saying they might do a rematch. Maybe. But for me, we've seen it now. I'm not sure if you need that. Sabre wouldn't shake his hand, so maybe we'll get that. But if we're going to see Bryan face other New Japan talent, I think it's going to be... I'd rather it be Will Ospreay, but I think we're going to get the match that we didn't really get at Forbidden Door at Wrestle Kingdom, where we get Bryan versus Okada. So we've had a classic Hangman Page Swear match, a classic Bryan Zack Sabre match. Just fantastic stuff, wasn't it? And then, just as you're about to recover from this, bang! A minute later in the ring, you've got Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay. Do you know what I mean? Just crazy stuff. This match was Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, and Ibushi. Well, the ghost of Ibushi versus Will Ospreay. We didn't get to hear Elevated, which I'm fuming about. We get against Ospreay, Guevara, and Takeshita. I would have preferred Ibushi Takeshita singles match here, but hey, can't complain, because this card was stacked. This didn't need, you know what I mean? You can have a 6-man tag with Kenny Omega in on a show like this. You can't have that on fucking the biggest show ever at Wembley. But hey, that was for a previous podcast. I've complained enough about that. It was a great match. I would have been going 4.25 stars on this. The action was incredible. It was like a PWG 6-man tag from back in the day. I tweeted out 10 minutes into the match, look, this match can only win one way, and that's Sammy pinning Chris Jericho, and that's exactly what happened. But the ending just made this match less than it should have been. I don't think I've ever seen a match where I'm like, this is a great match to, it was good. But that's what we got, because we had just a bizarre moment where Ospreay is just holding Aubrey Edwards. Is it Aubrey Edwards? I don't know. Holding one of the refs down for what seemed like an eternity, just so Jericho didn't get the pin on his top rope Hurricanrana. And it was just like, what? Why was this going on forever? It was just awkward. And then he single-handedly holds Omega and Ibushi, from getting in the ring so that Guevara can pin Jericho via a fuck finish. And yeah, great action, but the scruffy ending lowered this. 3.75. Sammy Guevara's team gets the win. Let me have a drink of my knockoff 89p Lucozade from my local Indian newsagents. Great audio. And next, so we have seen Sabre versus Bryan. We've seen Omega opposite Ospreay in a crazy 6-man tag with a shit ending. Do we get time to breathe? Do we get a video package? Can I go for a shit? No, because 2 minutes later, we've got FTR versus Aussie Open in one of the most matches that I was excited for going into it. And guess what? The crowd are dead as a doormat for the first 10 minutes. Do you know why? Because they're tweeting about the previous two great matches they've seen. Because they've gone to take a piss. Because they're exhausted. Give them an interview. Give them a prolonged video package. Give them something. Just don't give them wrestling. Because what you get is one of the biggest matches on the card gets a dead crowd for the opening, and it affected the match. I mean, in this match, it was good. It was very good. It was, do you know what? If the crowd had been more into it and it got a little bit longer and Mark Davis hadn't have hurt his wrist, this would have been a classic. But with all that said, it was just very good. A very good match. FTR won. Expected it to be better, but circumstances that we've just detailed played into this, and it was good. Slow the pace down, Tony. These, as I said, it's the greatest pay-per-view, one of them of all time, but just give us a chance to go for a piss, mate. But yeah, very good match. FTR win. I went 3.75. Very well wrestled. I don't know, I kind of expected more. But hey. Main event. Darby Allin versus Christian. As I say, for this, the crowd were dead for the first 5 or 10 minutes. But Christian's heel work. I mean, there was the crazy bump onto the steps. That was fucking insane. Where Darby Allin's, I don't know, banged his head on the steps. It was a bit awkward when he went for it 2 or 3 times, Christian, but eventually he gets it. And yeah, it was just a 2 out of 3 falls match, weren't it? Obviously, a lot of people thought AW do like a lot of the hometown people to win, but Christian winning, I think, made more sense, especially with the ending. Darby Allin did get the first pin via a roll-up where he put Christian's turtleneck over him. The second fall was count out from that crazy bump on the steps and the stretcher dive. The third fall was Christian. He took all the mat off, and it was just that moment you're always going to remember where the hands go down for the three to utter silence for them, for the Seattle crowd, as Darby Allin retained. Not Darby Allin, as Christian. Fuck's sake! I'm doing so well, as Christian retains the TNT title. After we get Nick Wayne. Nick Wayne turned on Darby Allin, costs him, and Christian Cage retains the title. Nick Wayne's mum's fuming. Nick Wayne has joined Christian and Luchasaurus. They beat down Darby Allin. Sting makes the save, but then they beat him down. And what happens? Do you think you know me? No, we got a 1 minute video package. Not really sure if this was necessary, but we got it nonetheless. And then we got, on this day, I see clearly. What a singer. Edge, Adam Copeland, makes his way to the ring for the save. He comes out to a monster pop. The crowd are thinking, is he going to side with Christian? But no, he smashes Luchasaurus with a chair, which is going to be Edge's first match. I can't not call him Edge. Just going to be Edge. You know what I mean? Sue me. Whatever. But yeah, great moment. I'm buzzing that Edge got to keep his Alter Bridge song, because that is just, you just got to, you know what I mean? Metalingus is just associated with Edge. Can't wait to go to Wembley next year and sing my heart out to this. And yeah, should be great. Should be great. Edge is in AEW as this classic pay-per-view littered with great matches to very good matches. There was only one thing on the show I didn't like, which was the MJF match. Everything else was great. Obviously, Ricky Starks versus Willie Ute was all right. But the, do you know what I mean? We've got, let's just go through this. We have got a two-star match, the MJF match, yeah? And the Ute Starks match. Take those two matches away, right? We've got a 3.5, a 3.75, a 3.25, a 4.5, a 4.25, a 4, a 3.75, and a 4. Do you know what I mean? We've almost got, still not sure what to go for with a 6-man tag. I really didn't like that ending. But we've got 4 matches that are 4 stars or around that and above. We've got like 3 matches that are around the 3.5 star mark. This is a classic pay-per-view. We would have killed for match quality like this back in the dark days of, I don't know, Vengeance 2010 with Unforgiven 2007. I'm not even sure that pay-per-view had a match with over 3 stars. So all these WWE fans, yeah, who are like, oh, the pay-per-view wasn't great, blah, blah. Let's go back to Unforgiven 2007, shall we? Where the main event is Randy Orton, John Cena, ends via what? A DQ. The semi-main event is Undertaker, Mark Henry in a 2-star classic. So that was your double main event that night. Undertaker versus Mark Henry in a 2-star match, and Randy Orton versus John Cena in a main event that ends via DQ. Here we got FTR versus Aussie Open in a near 4-star match. Darby Allin and Christian in a great match with a fucking legendary debut. Would you rather go back to the days of Unforgiven 2007? No, would you fuck? This was a classic pay-per-view with a classic ending full of, well, great matches. So yeah. That's it. That is your Wrestle Dream review. I hope you enjoyed it. Sorry for all the swearing. I got a bit carried away towards the end. But yeah, great pay-per-view. I need some sleep. Yeah, match of the night. Hangman Swerve at 4.5 stars. My overall rating of this pay-per-view, I am going to give this show an 8.9. I don't know why. It's not like mathematically I've come up with this rating. It just feels like 8.9, yeah? I went to go and see Saw 10 last night before the pay-per-view to try and, like, just give me a bit of energy going into the show. Saw 10 was about a 6.4, yeah? This is 8.9. If you don't like me giving these ratings, fuck it. It's my show. I'll give what ratings I want. 8.9 for Wrestle Dream, one of the greatest wrestling pay-per-views ever. Cage match, they're at 8.99 at the moment. They're still saying that All In 2021 is the best AEW pay-per-view with a 9.54. Not for me, not for me. 8.9 for Wrestle Dream. And yeah, I loved this pay-per-view. I've complained. I still always find a way to complain, even if I've loved somebody. Yeah, love this pay-per-view. Hopefully AEW can go forward from this point. with a lot, yeah. And now, as I say, we're always going to talk about WWE. People are going to be like, where was the NXT? Where was the NXT review? Do you know where it was? I didn't fucking do it. Because on Sunday, I was watching football all day and going to watch Saw. So yeah, I'm mourning my team getting beat 4-0. But yeah, so I haven't actually watched No Mercy. Not sure if I will because I know all the results. But next week on the show, we will be talking more WWE. We will be reviewing their Fastlane pay-per-view that I believe takes place this Saturday night. We're also going to be talking AEW. Edge's first match goes head-to-head with the NXT show that night. So next week's show, we're going to be talking Fastlane 2023. And we're going to be talking the AEW Dynamite on the Tuesday that goes head-to-head with NXT. So I'm probably going to try and... We're going to find our groove with this. My main target is not to give a deficient or whatever night the podcast is going to be released. Just stay tuned to the Twitter, which is at WrestleFanzine. And yeah, so basically I'm going to tell you next week, the show will be out Wednesday or Thursday. Keep up to date on the Twitter. The show will be out on those days. In the meantime, I want you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search WrestleFanzine on YouTube. Or follow us on Twitter at WrestleFanzine. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And yeah, hope you've enjoyed the show. I'm fucking exhausted. And yeah, we'll see you next week. Hopefully, PNE haven't been beaten by Leicester and Ipswich. But I'm guessing I've got 16 hours of travel to these two matches over the next week or so. But yeah, let's hope we at least pick up a point, eh? Probably won't. We'll probably be in sixth this time next week. If you don't care what I'm talking about, fuck you, I want to talk about it. It's my podcast, and North End mean a lot to me. But yeah, I'll speak to you all next week, talking WWE Fastlane, Tuesday Night Dynamite and NXT, and the in-ring debut of Edge in AEW. Thanks for listening, everyone. Make sure to subscribe. This has been issue one of the WrestleFanzine. I'm your host, Daniel Ball, and I'll speak to you all next week.